Psalm 124, please. Psalm 124. Thank you, sir. Where'd that Cliffy guy go? Careful, don't hurt yourself. Thank you, sir. All right, are we ready? Let's all stand together, please. Psalm 124. A couple weeks back, we dealt with the subject of joy. Everybody look up here for a moment. And I gave big three really difficult words. By the way, the words are easy. The concepts are hard to live. We talked about anticipation. We talked about participation, and then we talked about reflection. And I want to say this to you, everybody. Everybody in this room is going to be different in one area or another. In order to obtain the kind of joy in the life that the Lord wants you to have in the journey, you're going to have to learn to anticipate the good things, which, by the way, look at me, age robs you of the ability to anticipate. For most people, the older they get, life tends to get smaller and smaller. It doesn't have to be that way. As we learned for who all that were on Zoom on Wednesday, Tim, I think we learned we have one member, ex-member, that's living a pretty full life at age almost 90. But most people's lives become food, TV, mail, that kind of thing. By the way, anticipating what God's going to do, participating, and that's my weakness. I can be too analytical, in case you haven't figured that out. If you haven't figured me out, I am not deep or difficult. And then, of course, reflection. Tonight, I'm not going to use any of those words. Tonight, we're going to deal with one of those concepts. I'll let you at the end of the service tell me what word we're dealing with, not word, concept we're dealing with tonight of the three words. 124. Are you ready? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, when the waters overwhelmed us, the streams had gone over our soul, then the proud waters, whatever that means, and I'm sure proud, it's not arrogance, it's probably talking about raging like a proud, you know, it's using an anthropomorphism, the opposite direction, putting human characteristics to water, raging waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Tonight we're going to deal with this text. I call this divine logic. I love to use words like logic. Modern Americans don't like academics. The word logic, I no joke, I can see people, not so much in this room, starting to turn me off within the first second. But there is a divine logic you and I need for the journey. It's part of those three words. I'll let you figure out which one. Before we pray, I'm going to introduce this. Have you ever heard this statement? You never know what you got. Well, if you're a Christian following Psalm 124, there should never be a time in your life, look at me, when you ever say, I never knew what I had till it was gone. because you should properly think about life, the journey. That's the sermon tonight, divine logic for the journey. Not deep, simple. Let's pray together. Father, help me as I think about and share some ideas, as I have meditated, read, thought about this text. May I share those things that have helped me and are helping me at the present time. This I ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So, you never know what you got till it's gone. She's not in this room. Yes, Mrs. Hall, I call my daughter Rotten. That's one of my nicknames for Amy, Rotten, Rotten D. Sometimes I call her Rotten D, meaning rotten daughter. I call her many, very rarely is it, you know, do I say nice things to her. And don't feel bad for Amy, please. I learned how to be cruel from Amy, but anyhow. She said something to me this week about a person in this room. I don't know if I should say the person, but she said, Dad, do you remember the loss of Mr. Losey? One day we're going to lose another person in this church and it'll be a loss like Mr. Losey. Do you know what she was saying? You never know what you got. I don't think that way. This week alone, I've had contact with several people that I love. All of these were people that had been members of this church. Sometime this week, I forget which day, my phone rang when I got home from lunch, and it says Romeo H, which is supposed to be his home number, but it's not, it's his cell. Romeo H. I knew who it was, so I answered the phone, and I greeted him by saying, Hey, Lagos, what I for old man? And he said, Hey, Lolo, Grandpa. And I said, Yes, but you're going to be Grandpa not too long either. We talked, and by the way, and I remembered when I came here, he's not my favorite song director. My favorite song director is Don Askew, bar none. Wasn't the best singer, but I just loved Don Askew as a young man. But Romeo Mendoza is a very, let me use Tagalog. He's a tankad guy. Do you remember him leading the singing? Jamie, you don't know who it is. Romeo is probably 5 foot. And when he leads the singing out there, you can kind of see his hand up here. But he has a smile this big. And Romeo is just pure gold for the Lord. Just like a guy, by the way, he got saved the same day another guy got saved that you know. Noel Hippolito. Both got saved on the same ship, the same day, by another man that was a deacon in this church, Arnel De Leon, which is in California. Okay? Great conversation. By the way, did I know what I had when Romeo was here? The answer is yes. Do I wish you to come back here? Yes. He wanted to be around warm weather. By the way, the difference is, well, I won't go the difference. I love Romeo. Romeo is going to go, by the way, for all of you, he's going to go back to Samar. So what that means for you that don't know, that's the poorest province in the Philippines. There are not even roads where he lives. You go roads and then you have to take boats to get to the next road. I mean, it's a mess. There are no, from my understanding, there are no shopping malls or shopping centers on Samar. None. Which means all you have is little bitty stores. But he's going to go back there. He wants to start a church or two or three. He says, I think the Lord is giving me, will give me 10 years more life, and I'm going to invest it. You know what I say? I want to help, and yes, sir. Well, then, the crazy man. I love this guy. I love his personality. I love his mind. I love his thoughtfulness. This week on Zoom, on Wednesday night, Dietmar, 89, almost 90 years old, he told us where he's at. He's at an assisted, I don't know if it's assisted living, but a kind of place like that. And he said something dumbfounding. They had an election where he could be in charge, you know, be part of, major part of some kind of organization within it. 500 people voted. By the way, he said this, most of the people are Jewish. In case you don't know, he's German. Now, he had nothing to do. He was a kid, but he had nothing to do with World War II. And he got 400 of the 500 votes. At 89 years old, here's Dietmar still trying to invest, give back, put in. Well, I've already told you, I got to talk this week also to my second favorite Tejano, Tony Cardenas. And I was so tickled when I got done. We were talking about 55 years of marriage to my favorite Tejano. By the way, I got them organized. Raquelita, Tony, number three, but it's a distant three right here. I love those folks. And we just rejoiced in the goodness of God. Can I ask you what I'm doing? Three families that will never be part of our church again. But they're people that I'm doing something with. By the way, I thought about before they left, I knew what it was going to mean. I could have done anything to have Tony and Rachel here. Romeo and Rose, wow. Well, let's look at your notes. What is the divine logic? The divine logic is simply the text, verse 1 and 2. It starts with the word if, which is also the Hebrew word for unless. You'll understand in a moment. He says, if it had not been that the Lord who was on our side. What is he doing? He's thinking, it's an element of reflection, but it's an element of anticipation. It's kind of both, where he's thinking, what if? So, what if you don't have Tony, and can I say this? Rachel's my favorite because Rachel, in case you guys don't know, women come to church, men follow, normally, which means women that have no contact with other women don't do much for a church. They can serve, they can work, but they don't do this. Rachel was one of these. You understand what that means? She enveloped people. I'm not mad at anybody. By the way, you can't fake it. You can't develop it. You either got it or you don't. And any pastor knows all you need is two or three of those kind of women that are positive in this. You can do anything in a church. And they get removed. By the way, what if you didn't have the Lord? What if or unless? Verse 2. If it had not been that the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. Well, in your notes, this is simply the logic is imagining, which is a form of anticipation, I think. You could say it's a form of reflection. It's somewhat both. It has nothing to do with participation, but it's a way of imagining our life contrary to the facts right now. So we might as well get this out of the way. Everybody look at me. The chances that you are going to die the same day as your spouse are how high? So instead of playing around, always with your head where it shouldn't be, you start imagining what would it be like, because the Lord not only is in our life, but the Lord gifts us with people, places, and things. Can I say this? Most people don't know what they have till it's gone, but it shouldn't be that way for a Christian, because a Christian should use their imagination to think, now, wait a minute. One day, what God has given me, for in my case, a father, a mother, my wife just lost her mother not long ago. You don't run from it, you don't cry, you start actually getting serious and start thinking, what if, because that what if is going to happen. In this case, using the imagination to think, what if I didn't have God in my life? What would that be like? What would that mean? Look in your notes. The logic is imagining. Does everybody understand? And by the way, most adults don't imagine well. You know this. Children can just fantasize. Adults get too fixated on the here and now. It's the logic is imagining our life contrary to the facts. What if we didn't have the Lord, or unless the Lord was on our side? I call it a sanctified, I messed up on a word there. It's a sanctified use of our imagination contrary to fact. That's what it is. A sanctified use, contrary to fact. I say in your notes, this structure is common in Psalms. You'll notice there's a star there. I'm not going to read any of the verses that are in the star, which are on the back page. You have every reference to this Hebrew word in the Bible in your notes. There is a lot of these contrary to fact unlesses or ifs. We'll just read the ones from Psalm. Psalm 27, verse 13. I had fainted. What's fainted mean? I had quit. I had given up. I had no hope unless I had believed. See the unless? I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 94, verse 17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Psalm 106, verse 23. Therefore he said in that he would destroy them, had not, unless Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach. So friend, sanctified imagination, logic, stops sometimes on the journey and thinks, what if God wasn't in this? What if the Lord didn't know me? I didn't know him. I didn't know his word. I didn't have the hope of the gospel. It would be, terrible imagining that. What if all the people that God's put in my life, what if all the blessings this week, if you haven't seen it, Judy will send it to you. Everybody look at me. Judy will send it to you. Was it you that sent me? Or someone else, the stuff about Marty Marriott. Did you send that to me? You have the pictures, right? On Facebook? Didn't you see it? You're not on Facebook. Who sent it to me? Marty Marriott, by the way. Picture of him in his hippie days. Well, he had hair, first of all. And it was long. He was a hippie. Friends, here's Marty Marriott. He becomes president of Maranatha. He's been there, I don't know, 10 plus years. I'm not sure the exact amount. Who would have thought he would get cancer in his eye? Have you ever thought? Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? Now, there are people in every church, and our church is really one of the worst I've ever been around in this specific area. We're always daydreaming about some other place. But have you ever thought what's going to happen one day when you can't do what you're doing now? I think sanctified imagination starts thinking about, I think I better enjoy what I'm doing, enjoy the Lord, because what if the Lord wasn't in my life? Let's keep reading. I think I have another one or two here. One at least, Psalm 119, verse 92. I memorized this as a kid. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. It's a sanctified use of the imagination. You do it for the Lord. You do it for people and events and places and locations and jobs and everything good that God gives you. Most of our kids are gone. I look around here. We got one, two. Wow, not many kids. The number one thing I know about life changes. Do you know that? Folks, there's no place for me to go back home to. How about you? You say, why? What would I go back there for? It's just a building. Nobody lives there. My family doesn't live there. You know, my dad's gone. Do you realize life changes? And if we're going to move forward in the journey and going to enjoy it to the uttermost, we need to stop and use the divine logic. What if I didn't have this? What if God hadn't blessed me with this? It removes the griping, complaining, dissatisfaction, unhappiness, nastiness, and all of the above. Well, in your notes, I give an example. I have done this with several people. I'm not going to tell you who Amy mentioned, by the way. It's not your business. She can tell you. But somehow we were talking about Mr. Losey. When I came to this church in 1996, before I got to this church from Jim DeWar. For two or three years, Jim DeWar kept talking about a guy named Mr. Losey. Honestly, I thought Mr. Losey must be 6'4", 280 pounds, good looking, macho. I finally came to this church and I preached, and I'm going to be honest with you, we stayed with the Loseys. I couldn't have picked out Mr. Losey from anybody. Mr. Losey is the man in every place you've ever been that you would look right past. Nothing special about how he looked, how he acted, how he dressed. Well, he was an old country boy. He could dress up a little bit, not too much, a little bit. I don't trust people when they take too much good about a person. I'm like, this guy doesn't really exist. Well, I came here. I didn't want to. I preached. Then I got a note, and by the way, I still have the note. If you're bitter at me, blame it on Mike. He's the cause. I came back and preached. I definitely didn't want to come back and preach in 1995, 96. Finally came back and candidated. I had to move out of a house in St. Louis. Mike, you were there. I don't even know how it happened. Jenny, do you remember, did Mr. Losey come down and look at our house first? We had to put a roof on the house. Mr. Losey up here said, hey, no problem, I can do it. Do you know how old he was at the time? He was 70-something. Did you hear me? Well, I can do it. Next thing I know, we're going to get ready to move, getting things packed up, and we got a truck, and then Mr. Losey brought Lord on him. By the way, this is the part I like about Losey. The things that everybody else cares, I like that too. I like the truck he drove because there were like holes in the truck. And there were like dogs, you know, little stuffed animals sticking out door holes. The guy was crazy. Mr. Losey said, we'll come down. He brought a working party down. By the way, it was a good party, but the working was Mr. Losey. Because that old man could get up on a roof. And can I say this? On one night, they tore that roof off. On the next morning, they put it back. They had to exchange. They had to put some new plywood. Hear me, not an exaggeration. When he fixed the roof, stripped it off, and rebuilt it, the roof was better than the day it was built. He put flashing in the valleys. He put flashing around the edges. It was a better roof than the day the house was built. That's Gene. Then I'm starting to think, this guy is super. All right, take a breath. Then I have to realize, if you're only at a church 3 years, none of this bothers you. If you're a pastor, every 3 years you're moving on, none of this bothers you. But there came a time when I realized, Tim, you and I realized, because we were dumb enough to go out to eat with Mr. Losey. By the way, my second favorite part, Jamie, there is somebody much worse than you. Can I say this? Not more helpful. I don't like Jamie. I want you to know that. He's Mr. Helpful. You got to give him that. The guy's always, always being a blessing. Mr. Losey was like you in different areas. But he was worse when it came to food. He loved Chinese. Of course, his wife, okay. So Mr. Losey, Tim, he would go out, and he always did the same thing. He got a mixed drink. You know what a mixed drink would be? Mountain Dew, raspberry iced tea, and orange. And he would laugh because it just tickled him that everybody else thought that was gross. But there came a time, hey, look at me. When we would go out to eat with him, and we realized, what do we realize, Tim? He was starting to fail. Can I say this? Have I missed Mr. Losey? Yes, you can't replace Gene Losey. But can I tell you what? I don't miss him in one sense because I anticipated him going to heaven. I've given the word away. I did the what if, the unless. Do you realize the old man, some of you and some people that have been here, I wish Pastor Warren would move on to greener pastures. We'd get a nice pastor. Okay? I can tell you this, and I'm going to say this. This is one time. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you ain't ever been in a Sunday school like that on planet Earth. Period. Yeah, I'm nobody. I spend my life doing this. I don't do things on the way to the pulpit. I never, ever, ever shortchange you. Ever. My goodness. You say one day you'll be gone. By the way, do you realize I have to think about that too? You say, when are you going to get gone? Well, some of you are saying, anytime now. I'll tell you when. Whenever I can't do it anymore. I hope that's not soon. I know that Amy said somebody was asking, is your dad? I am thinking of retirement. It's called heaven. Anyhow, let's move on to this. Do you understand what I'm talking about, Mr. Losey? Yes or no? By the way, Mr. Losey was a gift to this church. Can I have an amen? Amen? By the way, he's not the only one. I don't have to be real weird. This man here has been a great gift to this church. My goodness, he's run Awana the whole time I've been here and done an excellent job. And he's so dumb. He has one on the base too because he has nothing else to do. By the way, he's always investing. There's many good men. Mike Hall. I look around this church. We have many people always investing. I realize all of us will get too old someday. Now, our problem is when we have people join, some of them don't get the whole investment thing. They don't. Can I say this? The worst day in my church history at Lake County, the worst day when that guy over there left here the first time. My best day was when he came back. I could say the same for Judy, not Cliff, but Judy. Sadly, I could say the same for Sam Augustine too. Look in your notes. The Apostle Paul actually demonstrates this in Ephesians. We'll just read the first two verses. For by grace are you saved. We know this. Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 11. Then he actually tells them to do what the psalmist is teaching us. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, do you remember what you used to be before Christ? Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands? That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, without Christ being, having no, say it, hope, and without God in the world. Do you know what he's doing? Exactly what Psalms is doing. What if, unless, there has to come a time in our life when we think, if we're going to move forward on the journey, what would it look like? So here's tonight. Bambi has a brother named Joey. Joey has been a drunk his whole life. He's never been a rambunctious junk. He's not been angry. He's not fought anybody. This is his life. His life, as long as I've known Bambi, which is now 27 plus years, I met the brother at the very first year. The brother is an unsaved guy. His mind is befuddled by alcohol. Can I ask you a question? Do you know what it's like to live like that? This is your hope. You get up. If you have to work, you work. You get your beer on the way home, and you come home and turn on television and drink until you fall asleep. That's a life without Christ and without hope and without God in this world. Wow! Well, what else does he say? Look at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. Well, the second part of the logic is the word then. Then. Verse 3, then, if it hadn't been for the Lord, then they had swallowed us up quick. I put this in here, by the way, you need to know this. Look at me, everyone. Tim, I told Tim this week. This is a word, everybody in this room knows it, but you're going to read right past it. It doesn't say you're going to be swallowed up quickly. This is that old English word quick, meaning alive. It's not an adverb, friend. And the Hebrew word is just a word for living. He says if we didn't have the Lord, we would be swallowed up alive when there. And he's merging analogies between humans and natural events. Like there's a raging river and you're just swallowed up in the river while still breathing. Verse 24, then The waters had overwhelmed us. The streams had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us up as a prey to their teeth. That's the second big analogy. The third one comes in verse 7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. In your notes on the next page, he uses three things. He says, if it wasn't for the Lord, he's using analogies. It would be, if we did not have the Lord, it would be as if we were swallowed alive by a raging storm. Swallowed alive by a raging storm. I'm assuming most of you know water. By the way, turn on the faucet, no big deal. Jim, you had to work with water out of control, correct? With FEMA. Friends, there's a big difference between 5 gallons of water and a raging river like the Mississippi that destroyed swaths where I'm from. My friend Phil Scott is from Nutwood, Illinois. Big town. 75 people back in the dark ages. Might have been 150 at one time. In 1993, and Jim was working this up in the Mississippi River Valley, in 1993 when we had the greatest flood in 500 years in this area, friends, the river 7 miles away destroyed 2/3 of the town. 7 miles away. Hey, Cliffy, I have been to Tacloban. My first impression when I went to Tacloban, and Just John was there right afterwards. I have video from him. He was a corpsman, went there with the admiral from the ship. He took video the whole time, the disaster. When I first went to Tacloban, my first thing was, this doesn't remind me of the Philippines, because the roads were wide and there weren't houses built hanging out over the road. And I drove around for 30 minutes with somebody until it dawned on me. That whole area was just gone. Those people died. There were 5,000 to 10,000 people died in a few seconds in one area. They were just all buried in a common grave. Friend, the psalmist said this, hey, do you understand if you didn't have the Lord, it would be as if a raging flood, how do I say this? A raging flood just swallowed, you were swallowed alive by a raging flood or a raging river. That's what it would be like. His second example, which is found in verse 6, prey to their teeth. He basically said it would be like being eaten alive by ravenous beast. I say in your notes, as we become more sedentary and more city dwellers, we have lost this fear, which is the reason we have people that go and want to pet a bear. And you're just like, are you retarded? No, they're not retarded. What's the problem? They think, first of all, we're liberals. And we think, you know, peace, love, kumbaya, hug, kiss. We don't really realize animals are animals. And folks, you see it with buffalo. There was a woman recently in Florida got eaten by an alligator and her dog. There was people out west eaten by bear. What if you didn't have the Lord? It would be like a raging torrent. While you were alive, you drowned. Or while you were alive, a raging animal, ravenous animal, ate you up. They're eating you while you're still alive. That's the divine logic. Can I say this? This is what we all have to do on the journey. We actually have to once in a while do this. Let's stop. Turn the noise off. Look at me. Take your cell phone. Turn it off. Put it some other place. And start thinking, what would happen if my spouse died? Can I ask, have we lost any spouses in this church? Why do you think you're special? I'm asking you, why do you think you're special? Why do you think you're going to escape this? There is no escape, friend. I look out there every Sunday. They were here this morning, sister and wife. Listen, 5 minutes before it happened, nobody thought it could possibly happen to a healthy 44-year-old. Well, the third image, and I have lots of stuff in here. The third image, by the way, is trapped alive like a bird in a cage. Suddenly, life has trapped you. When I thought about Joey, friend, please look at me. Have you ever seen a kid? I'm going to say this in a different way. Have you ever seen a young kid? I remember driving through Jerseyville, Illinois. My goodness, this was 45 years ago. I'd been out of high school a few years. I was living for the Lord. As I drove through the town went to high school in, drove through the town on the main road, there was a pool hall here. And standing beside the pool hall was a guy named Dave. I cannot remember his last name. And I thought to myself as I saw Dave, I hadn't seen Dave in a couple years. Dave was in a pool hall playing pool, drinking, and smoking. I'm going to say this. You don't have to agree with me. It's kind of cute for seeing a girl smoking a cigarette when she's 16. How does that look when you're 70? It's kind of cute drinking a beer when you're 16. How does that look when you're 65? Here's the problem. You get trapped alive in a cage. So, friends, sometimes I just want to think this. Yeah, my life is not perfect. I don't have everything that I could ever dream of. But I do have this. I am not afraid of the water, so-called raging torrents, alive drowning me. I'm not afraid of wild beast eating me. I'm not afraid of being trapped in a trap of my own lust because of the Lord. If or unless, but not, no, then, and lastly, but. I'm going to give you these three bullet points, and this is the logic of the text. But, if or unless, then, but, hold on, but, first of all, the Lord is on our side. The psalm actually begins that way. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. That's the reason you have to imagine contrary to the fact, contrary to the way things are. The Lord is on your side. And because the Lord is on our side, that changes everything. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Not only is the Lord is on our side, the Lord is in the details of life. Even down to the pettiness and silliness and stupidities of life, the Lord protects us, watches over us. And yes, there's a but. But, and lastly, the Lord is over all things. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's stand. We're going to pray and leave tonight. Father, I love this text. I love thinking this way. I love thinking counter to fact. I love thinking about what if. I love thinking of the ugly consequences that could be in my life. I think about that Dave, my friend, who was at least somewhat of a friend in high school. I have not seen him, Lord, since probably 1976 or 7. Is he still alive? I don't know. But I know this. What was cute when we were 15, 16, and 17, 50 years later has no cuteness left. Life has been drowned in the very sin that we enjoyed, eaten up by the very sin we enjoyed, and trapped by a snare, like a bird in a cage, by the very sin we thought we enjoyed. But if the Lord is on our side, if the Lord is in the details, if you are Lord over all things, I think we can move forward on the journey. We have learned to think and reflect in that anticipation contrary to fact. That means we won't say, I never knew what I had till it was gone, but that we know exactly what we have and we rejoice in it every day. May it be so, in Christ's name.